I'm just trying to think through something. That's all, I guess.
Okay.
So, thanks for calling.
Thanks for answering.
Yeah. Glad I could answer.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing when he calls, we answer. We don't answer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think, you know, I think I remember this time to press that green button while the phone was ringing. Are you there, Barbara?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, I was asking Barbara if she was there. I was supposed to bring her with
me. She's, I don't see her, Jacob.
Well, no, I was asking, I tried to call, I tried to call in with the three-way.
Right, okay. Yeah, something, you gotta hit the flash again or something, whatever that is. We should be starting the class here soon.
Hey, Pastor Dale?
Yes.
Can I click this button and get her and then try calling you back again? Because I think something went wrong with the connection here, bringing her. And I hate to leave a little sister all alone like that.
I understand. Yeah, that's fine, Jacob.
She wants to come. Anyway, let me try this again.
Okay.
I'll call you right
back. All right.
Barbara, you
there?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, okay. It's nice to see you.
Nobody's here.
Bill's here. Jacob's here. Ms. Grummer's here. And we're trying to get Barbara to come along, too.
Where is she?
She's being flashed along with the three-way call.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Who is?
It is I.
Oh, this is Pastor Dan, right?
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to call her. This will work the same way either way if I call her.
Okay.
We're trying to dial her in.
It's nice out there.
Hmm?
I said it's nice out there.
Yeah, I think you're still there, Pastor Dan.
I am, yes.
Okay, I think she's still there.
So sometimes it would be better if it was a different color, Jacob? If the button was a different color?
It'd be better for what, Pastor Dan?
If the button was a different color. So you're working a crank. Is it a crank phone? You have to crank it up to get it.
I'm thinking carrier pigeons.
If you put the cord back in the phone, would it work any better, Jacob? That's all you have to do.
A lot of times, so much. Sometimes I hear people like Charlie Brown's teacher. You remember?
I do. Yeah. I hear. I do remember. I do remember that teacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yesterday, the FBC, they played the old Bob Jones teaching sermons, real short, you know.
Okay. This is, this was junior or senior?
Senior.
Ah, okay. not surprising, isn't it, Jacob?
Well, not really. When you think of Custer and Brokenshire,
when you think of Charlie Brown's teacher, Lucy's little brother, he memorized the King James.
Yeah, for the Christmas special.
It's not. We're almost ready to start here. Is there a technical problem?
Maybe.
I'll have to go check on the technical problem.
No, it's nothing that you need. I don't need your help.
Oh, should I bring a bigger hammer?
No, I just...
Bigger hammer, good.
Okay.
That's silly thing.
Daniel?
Yes.
I wanted to thank you all for your prayers and for praying for me. I'm doing better.
You're welcome. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I actually got 8 hours of sleep last night.
That's great. That's wonderful.
You have no excuse for not being here.
And he's talking about right now. I mean right now.
Yes.
So, let me know when everything's all fixed, Tammy, okay?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm sorry.
Hey, Bill.
That's me.
What's your question for Bill there, Jacob?
Oh, I was wondering if he had a pen in his hand. I wanted to give you a sermon from his website.
I don't have a computer at home.
It's a sermon about Exodus 16 and John 6, and it's really good.
He doesn't have a computer, Jacob, at home.
Uh-huh. Well, you can just write it down, because
Are you going to dictate it to him, Jacob? Are you going to dictate the sermon to him?
I could write the transcript out, but I had to start yesterday.
He doesn't have a computer, Bill. I mean, Jacob.
Oh yeah.
And so, what do you want him to write down?
FBCRadio.org.
Okay.
And then a space, and then sermon, and then a space, and God's manna from heaven. Remember when we had that Bible study on Exodus 16?
God's manna from heaven. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I have to do a search for God's manna from heaven on the that network you mentioned a moment ago.
Right. The FBCRadio.org. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Don't forget about BibleForToday.org too. There's a lot of good information on that as well. So,
maybe.
So let me know when you're ready to go, Tammy.
Okay.
Is it starting? The red buttons. Okay, that sounds fine. We'll do it afterwards. Welcome to the Leviticus class. This is the 19th of January, 2018, and we're going to be studying Leviticus chapter 17 today. And if anyone wants to comment or about it, please make your comments. We'd like to hear from you if you can do that for us. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. We do thank you that you've given Barbara this rest that she's needed. Please continue to help her to sleep continually. Have long periods of time when she could rest and get the sleep she needs. Do you think of Kelly as well, Father? Allow Kelly to be able to develop and maintain a good appetite. And help Mrs. Grummer with these tests. We ask that would give her the peace that she needs as she approaches the state when she has to take these tests. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Leviticus chapter 17. Let's read through some of these verses. Mrs. Grummer, Barbara, and then Jacob, 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll come back to here.
Barbara has to start that, Pastor Dan. The mama is very sick with a cold today.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Mrs. Grummer. All right, Barbara, verse 1, and then Jacob, verse 2.
Israel and saying to them, this is the thing the Lord has commanded.
mansoever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp,
and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people.
To the end, the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for a peace offering unto the Lord. So here again, we're going to have our peace offerings that are being mentioned. We have various things that are happening throughout this chapter. But here at the beginning, you know, as we noticed here, this is a verse that Bill quite often gets the question, so it gets to read. But the Lord is speaking to Moses again. The Lord spoke to Moses. Now, when the Lord speaks to us, He speaks to us differently, doesn't He? He speaks to us through the Word of God, and we speak to Him through prayer. During this time period, the canon was still open. And so God would be able to communicate sometimes directly to people. And that's what God was doing here. We have this leader of the children of Israel, the man who God selected to lead the children of Israel out of the nation of Egypt, after they were there for some 400 years in captivity, for part of those 400 years. They came down to Egypt because of the famine that was in the land. They came down to Egypt for food, and God saw to the good of it, to bring Joseph there. We know that Joseph told his brothers that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's when they brought him down to Egypt, where God allowed Joseph to come down to Egypt to provide the means wherewith not only would he save his family, he would save the entire nation of Israel, probably of Egypt, and all the nations that were in that territory. And so we see here that Moses is the one that's being used by God. We see the Lord spoke to Moses. And when God speaks to us through His Word, we must listen. We must listen to what God says. And so in turn here, we see here, Moses was to speak to the people. So God spoke to Moses, and then Moses took the words, the things that God spoke to him, to the people. And God told Moses to speak unto the sons of Aaron, and to all the children of Israel, and tell them what the commandments of the Lord were. Barbara, in verse 3, from what nation was the man who killed an ox or a lamb or a goat?
From the house of Israel.
From the house of Israel. And so this had to be done in a specific way. Someone from the house of Israel. Could be someone from that was outside the house of Israel. It had to be someone from within the house of Israel. And so we notice here that in verse 4, what would become of the one who did not bring his slain animal to the door of the tabernacle? This was something that was a great grave violation. They were supposed to bring their offering. And when they failed to do that, we see here in verse 4, that man shall be cut off from among his people. And so we have here, again, Lord speaks to Moses. Moses tells the people what God says, and the people are supposed to be obedient to that command, those ordinances of God. Now, when they fail to do this, then there's a problem. And these people that refuse to obey God are going to be cut off from among God's people.
Daniel?
Yes.
I had a little trouble with this verse that was imputed unto that man. The blood shall be imputed. I had to look that up. And when I looked it up, it was interesting because it means to contrive in a malicious sense. So this was a deliberate act.
Yeah, so
these were the children of Israel. These were God's people, and he had instructed them what he wanted already from the
process. Right, exactly. It was a deliberate rebellion. That's right.
Mm-hmm. With malice.
I missed what you said, the last word.
With malice,
that's right, with malice. That's right, it was with malice. And so these people were the ones that were going to be cut off. Now, we've noticed here in verse 5, where was the sacrifice to be brought? Again, it must be brought to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's where they need to bring it. They weren't supposed to be doing their own little system of things. They had to do it God's way. And when we fail to do things that are God's way, it creates problems for ourselves. We must do things God's way. And when we fail to do that, when we have this, in a certain sense, a deliberate rebellion and wanting to do it our way, then there's no mercy. We're running from the mercy of God. I mean, today in today's culture, there are people that want to have so-called the ethic and attitude of tolerance. They want to think that since they're tolerant, so to speak, they're not really tolerant, but they say they're tolerant. They believe that God needs to be tolerant. But God's merciful, God's gracious, but if you reject God, if you reject the gift of His salvation, you cannot obtain His righteousness. You cannot obtain the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. And there's another group of people who adhere to the Old Testament law, or they try to, but still they are rejecting the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have other segments of the population who want to misinterpret the Scripture. I mean, they think they're interpreting it accurately, but it would be one thing if they would just misinterpret the Scripture, but they add to the Scripture. They add works to the Scripture. They add all sorts of things to the Scripture that do not need to be added to it, and they think that salvation is by means of works and not by means of grace. And so we have to accept and believe what God has said and what He's done. And we have to bring our, in this instance here in Leviticus 17, you have to bring the sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle. And anyone who refused to, they'll do that. Hello, hello? Got a comment on Leviticus 17? Oh, just a second. Hello, we got a... Good afternoon. You have a comment about Leviticus 17?
Yes, I'm glad you said what you said about God has a certain way of doing things.
Yes.
That's what we learn, I believe, from this book, is that we can't just worship God however we want to, but He has prescribed ways, even though we're not under the Old Covenant. And Jesus said those that worship God must, not maybe, but they must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God lays out all these specific guidelines in the New Testament for how He's to be worshipped. And there's consequences when we don't worship Him the way He commands. I think of Uzzah when he touched the Ark of the Covenant and God struck him dead. It was a powerful lesson that we can't just worship God however we want.
That's right. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for the call, Sam. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sure.
For the Bible study.
Bye. Sure. Bye. So, good. So, certain way of doing things. Now, Sam brought up Uzzah, and Uzzah, when transporting the ark back to where it belonged, they failed to follow the instructions of God by carrying the ark. They put it on a cart, a wagon of some sort, and they were trying to have an animal pull the ark, and the oxen stumbled, and so the cargo got a little bit shaky, and so Uzzah thought he was doing the right thing, and he put his hand up against the ark to steady it, because it was going to fall off, he thought, and the Lord smote him, or told him, because they disobeyed the ordinance of God. You were not supposed to touch it. It was not supposed to be touched, and it was a certain way it was supposed to be carried by just a certain group of people, a very limited group of people were supposed to carry that ark. And so when we have here the children of Israel, the ones that refused to obey God, they were cut off. But yet the ones that did obey God, they were what is acceptable. Let's read some more verses here. Any more verses 6? Barbara, pick up with verse 6.
And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord and the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savour unto the Lord.
They shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations.
And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever men there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice.
And bringeth it not to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people.
And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that he hath any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul, that he hath blood, and I will cut him off from among his people. So notice in here, in verse 6, Jacob, the burning of what caused a sweet savor of the Lord? I think it might be the burning of what was it, Jacob?
The blood upon the altar of the Lord.
Okay, and also the fat, right?
And the fat, yes.
So we have both, as you see, a sweet savor. In other words, God's pleased. God's pleased by the fact that they are doing this. And they're recognizing the fact of...
Let me go back to what Noah did after he got off the boat, right? In 8, I think it's in Genesis 8.
Okay. Yes, that's... That's right, Tammy.
Well, the children of Israel weren't to eat the fat, and they weren't to... eat the blood. So I mean, it was just interesting, because then in Nehemiah the Lord commands them, you know, eat the fat.
Good point. Yes. Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet. So the fat in this instance here in Leviticus, the fat and the blood are for the Lord, and it had to be done a certain way, a certain specific way. Otherwise, God is not pleased. Thinking about doing things a specific way, I mean, going back to the days of Abel and Cain, Abel did the offering a certain way. Abel had the blood, because God wanted blood. Cain, his offering had no blood. It was blood free or bloodless, no blood whatsoever. And so it had it because Cain did it the wrong way. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, and that caused Cain to be upset, angry with his brother Abel. And so then Cain took matters in his own hands and he slew his brother Abel. Now, notice here. What the children of Israel wants to sacrifice. Though, at one point in their lives, they want to sacrifice the devils, this verse says, in verse 7. But they should not sacrifice the devils. We should not sacrifice the devils. We should only be obedient to God. Now, you know, there's two masters. You know, you're going to serve God, you're going to serve mammon. You're going to serve the flesh, you're going to serve the spirit. How are we supposed to live? You had a thought there, Barbara?
Yeah, on 7?
Yes.
This was actually the good God Menendez, which when you think of the good head of the pentagram, that's who he was. He was worshipped in Egypt as one of the eight principal gods. And in Joshua 24:14, he admonishes Israel to put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. The religion that came up after the flood was the false religion that came up after the flood. It's the same religion that was there before, and as Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. So this false religion has been perpetuated from the garden, they have not said.
And they shouldn't be doing it. They shouldn't be serving it.
Two ways, mm-hmm. You know, there's God's way or Satan's way. And
that's
I think
right.
that's what it comes down to.
That's right. That's good. We just finished 7. That's right. We're talking about sacrifice and the devils. See that in verse 7? Now in verse 8, what two types of people groups did Moses mention? Tammy.
I'm not sure I quite caught what Barbara was saying, but I mean, it seems clear that they were sacrificing to devils and not bringing what they're offering before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling them, there's a new way now. This
yes.
is what we're going to do.
Yes.
So, you know, the clarification, the breaking between what they used to do with what God is now structured for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right. So they have to do things differently than they were before. Before they were doing things that were wrong, contrary to God's ways, now they have to do things according to God's ways. And of course, the children of Israel and even the people that are living today, people that are part of the church, they have, which are two different organizations, you have the Israel, you have the church, but nonetheless, when people that are part of the church do the things that are contrary to Scripture, they need to come back to the Scripture, the standard of the Scripture. And we see here these two people groups that are mentioned here in verse 8. We see the house of Israel, and we also see strangers that are sojourning or that are living with and among the children of Israel.
Daniel?
Yes.
We met the strangers back in Leviticus the burnt offering. They were allowed to bring the burnt offering, but that was the only one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Strangers. Now, Bill, in verse 9, what will become of the one who failed to bring a sacrifice?
He'd be cut off.
They'd be cut off. So again, there's a stress. Do you see that in verse 9, Tammy?
Oh no, I was just thinking about what Barbara was saying. I was trying to figure out. She was talking about strangers, and trying to figure out what she was referencing.
Well, I think there's like a mixed multitude. Perhaps back in the book of Exodus.
Right. But this was for everyone. This included the strangers.
Yes, that's right. It did.
So God's way was for those who were of Israel or not of Israel.
Yes.
That were among them.
That's God's way. Right. Mm-hmm. That's God's way. Mm-hmm. And so in verse 10... The question is, what is the Lord's view of the one who consumes blood? Now, again, we know that the life of the flesh, Scripture tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that. And we know that this verse is telling us that God says, I will even set my face against the soul that eateth blood. I will cut him off from among his people. So, there's no need, and it's forbidden to eat the blood. Is the no need for that blood to be eaten or to be consumed. All right, Barbara, please read verse 11, and then Jacob verse 12. Yeah, please do.
Back in the day that they're talking about here, the people they would cut off a limb and eat it, which without proper slaughtering and draining of the blood, you would have been eating the blood with it. And because of what we know and understand what blood means to God, these people had, the Israelites would have seen this as a normal thing, as eating of the blood. Because
it was part of their culture. That's right. It was part of the culture to eat the blood.
They had to completely understand that they were to be separate, that they were to, we said it, not worship in our way, but His way, and to understand what the meaning of this blood was to them, because the life was in the blood. The pagan had no such concept.
No, they did not, and so that's why they were forbidden to eat the blood, and anyone that did would be cut off from among the people. Go ahead, Barbara, read verse 11 there, Barbara, please.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul.
Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood. Neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood.
And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust.
For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the Lord, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading it off the screen because there's all sorts of little things on it. For the life of the flesh, for it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it, it shall be cut up. Eat it shall be cut off.
And every soul that eateth that which is died of itself, or that which is torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until evening, then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. Notice in here in verse 11, the two important characteristics of blood. The first one is the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the second characteristic is that the blood is what makes an atonement for one's soul. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, and his blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the death of Christ on the cross when he shed his blood for us, that what makes atonement for your soul. If people do not want to accept the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, then they are going to retain the sin of Adam upon themselves. They will never obtain the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so it's very important for them to understand that the blood, the life of the flesh and the blood, and also the blood is what makes an atonement for their souls. And so that's why in verse 12, what was not to be eaten? The scripture says here in verse 12 that the blood was not to be eaten. Now, Tammy, in verse 13, what was to be done with the blood? Once you catch a fowl or a beast, what was to be done with the blood?
It was to be poured out and covered with dust.
That's right. It was to be poured out and to be covered with dust. What is in the blood? Well, the life of all flesh. It's been said this, but that's what's in the blood. The life of all flesh is in the blood. And if someone would be unclean, they would be unclean until the evening. If they if they came in contact with some dead animals, some dead beasts, and there was these different things that were involved. And verse 16, what would become of the one who refused to wash his flesh? You know, that was in the previous verse, there were a certain procedure they would follow. But in this verse, in verse 16, someone refused to wash their flesh, he's got to bear his iniquity. There's a remedy for them in verse 15, but yet if they refuse to accept the remedy, then he's going to bear his iniquity. Just like today, there's a remedy for sin. But the people that refuse, the people that accept the remedy, can obtain, can appropriate the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But those people that refuse to, they're going to bear their own iniquity. And they don't have what it takes to satisfy a righteous and holy God to be able to stand before Him and be able to enter His heaven. Mm-hmm. Barbara, question 17. How important was the blood? There's three parts, Barbara. Want me to give you one part at a time?
Please.
First part, how important was the blood?
It was all important.
Yes. It's all important. How was the blood to be treated?
It was to be treated, I would say, as a holy thing.
Yes, and how does it compare to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ?
The blood of the sacrifices compared yes. to Christ's blood?
Yes.
Hebrews 7:25 comes to mind. But we're starting at 24. This man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. They come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest he came up, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself.
And Jacob, same question. Oh, go ahead, Barbara, more thoughts, please.
I'm just saying that, you know, they had to do this twice a day on the Day of Atonement and continually because where God accepted it and this was law and this is what he demanded. The thing is, it was a shadow and a portrait of what was to come in Christ, who, you know, didn't need to daily do it to offer up his sacrifice either for himself or for us. He did it once.
Once. And that was enough. Jacob, same question.
Yes, the blood. I'd say the best answer for this here, that was very good what Barbara said, that Hebrews 9, I'd say is the best answer for this. Really, 9 and 10. Let's see here. 9, 7. Went into the second, went to high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way to the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as containing to the flesh, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing the cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come, an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, by his own blood, he entered at once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Thank you, Jacob.
this Bill. Chapter and the mm-hmm. next one, really.
Yeah. That's good. Right. Mm-hmm. Bill, question 17.
Okay, how important was the blood? The blood is the central issue of mm-hmm. this chapter.
Yes.
It gets to the source of what atonement and forgiveness is about. How was the blood to be treated? Well, we're not to eat the blood.
That's right, we're not.
And if we kill an animal for food, we're to drain the blood and bury the blood in mm-hmm. The dust.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not supposed to deal with that at all. If it's a sacrificial mm-hmm. animal, then of course it's taken to the priest and he presents it on mm-hmm. the altar. How is it to compare with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an interesting question there. I believe that Jesus shed all mm-hmm. of his blood mm-hmm. between the scourging he got before he was crucified mm-hmm. and the actual crucifixion itself.
Yes.
It probably drained all of the blood that was in his mm-hmm. body, which would be symbolic for all of the people, an offering for everyone. This put all of these sacrifices that we're reading about now, mm-hmm. put an end to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And Tammy, question 17, please.
To number one, how important was the blood? Well, it was what provided physical life to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it was drained, there was no life in the mm-hmm. flesh. And it gives spiritual life to an individual through the atonement that can be made by it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then number two, how is it to be treated? It was forbidden in normal life to partake in it.
Mm-hmm.
And as Barbara said, you know, I noticed too, as whole, it's holy, and the only thing that can make an atonement.
Mm-hmm.
It has to, and then I noticed, like Bill did, you know, I thought it was interesting that it had to be fully drained from the body of an animal before a person could partake in it, and then it had to be covered with dust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was something sacred about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even and the very fact that there are people that drink blood or believe that they're drinking blood, mm-hmm. if they're not,
mm-hmm.
Is just absolutely, it's just evil.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so when, you know, churches or other organizations, I think, you know, some that are a little, have always been more on the cultic side and mm-hmm. their occultic practices. I mean, one religion, Roman Catholicism, is very societally accepted, but it's essentially doing the same thing as those mm-hmm. other organizations, because it's saying this is the literal blood of Christ, and you know
mm-hmm.
that's evil.
Yes.
And then how does it compare to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, while we let's see. Okay, so I was thinking of how, you know, there are certain regulations for the blood of an animal or the blood of a person. For that matter, we don't eat people, but
mm-hmm.
But as far as before we eat an animal, all the blood would be removed.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think of Hebrews 10:29. Because those that don't follow, you know, in the Old Testament, that didn't follow that and drain,
mm-hmm.
they were rebelling against what the will of the Lord was. Now, before this time, I don't know that it wasn't clear to people, you know, what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But in Hebrews 10:29, it says, of how much this is, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy and his choice of witnesses. So, you know, the whole idea of violating, you know, this principle of not eating the blood,
mm-hmm.
and how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy who have trodden under the foot of the Son of God, mm-hmm. and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and then desperate unto the Spirit of grace. So it was what made an atonement, and it was sacred both in the Old Testament, but even more with the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. because it was, you know, it's not just a temporary covering.
Yes.
It's permanent atonement mm-hmm. for our sins.
That's right. It's permanent, not temporary. It's very, very important for us to remember. But what these animals, their sacrificial system, their sacrifices were whatever, just the kafar, temporary covering. But the Lord Jesus Christ was permanent cover, permanent. It's permanent. Any more thoughts on Leviticus 17 today?
Yeah. Go ahead, Barbara.
Blood never decays.
And Christ, that's right. It's still available. It's still available to people today. The blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
James.
That's all right. These people here in Israel going back to Baal worship constantly, God hated the calf worship, but he hated the Baal worship a lot worse.
He did.
Jeremiah.
Thank you, Jacob. It is a bad business to get into, Jacob.
Yeah, I think the one true God is the only way of salvation. This is very clear through the scriptures and just the obviousness of they are mad upon their idols.
Yes.
And it cuts across all lines. And this is not limited to just one group of people here. It's pretty much across the board for most.
That's right. Any more thoughts anyone has? Well, Lord willing, next week we'll take up and discuss chapter 18, another evolved chapter with different things. But please close in prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this knowledge that you have given to us. Father, we pray that our understanding will grow as time goes on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, sorry, you have some...